Good morning. It's good to be with you, our church family. I'm Zan, and it is an honor to be able to welcome you here to worship this morning. Those of you in the space and those of you worshiping online, we pray and hope that you find yourself at home here. We hope you'll join us after worship for lemonade on the lawn, which will be just outside the Washington Street doors. And while you're on your way, Marlene has to cover her ears. There are some birthday cards in the hallway for Marlene, who has a big birthday coming up. So when you're on your way to the lemonade, would you stop by the ministry station and write a little note for Marlene, and we'll get those in the mail this week. It's a beautiful day for warm worship and then a party outside at County Farm Park this afternoon from 4 to 6. It's our welcome party for Pastor Laura and Cy and Tom and Lydia. We'll gather, we'll be obvious. When you get to County Farm Park, you're going to enter in on Platt Road. It's a little bit of a path there into a shaded area. We're going to have tents, and we'll bring some chairs. If you have camping chairs, feel free to bring those. You can still RSVP to help us know numbers. That sign-up is online, where all our sign-ups are, at fbca2.org/connect. You'll find important outward-focused ministries named in the bulletin for this our work this summer. You'll see art fair parking, volunteers are needed. That money then supports the work in the winter to get household goods that folks need and food and clothing for the warming center, but also for Community Action Network. You'll also see summer work for Community Action Network to support kiddos who need school supplies. So Sue Ellen has been helping us with that ministry for years, and you'll find the information about how to do that in your bulletin. And then, of course, we're continuing with our good work with Habitat for Humanity. There's another work day coming up in August, and we commit to raising $2,500 each summer to support that work. So if you have questions about that, you can't see Scott Deals because he's away for the month, but you can maybe check email, or you can be in touch with Kat and me, and we can help you get connected. God is worthy of worship, our creator, healer, and inspiration. So then, let us worship God.
Thank you. stand in body or spirit for the opening prayer. Good and gracious God, you have brought us together in this holy place. Open our hearts and minds to what you have to tell us. Open our spirits to your love, and open our lives to one another in fellowship. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word.
Accept my offerings of praise, O Lord, and teach me your ordinances.
I hold my life in my hand continually, but I do not forget your law. Your decrees are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart.
Kiddos, Jesus was a teacher, and he taught in parables, stories, was a really good storyteller, and he told stories in a way that invited those who were listening to participate in them, to be wanderers, to use their imagination. Katie is about to read a story that Jesus told about a sower, somebody who's putting seeds in the ground. And there's this part that says it's hard for a plant to grow if the weeds are choking it out, are tangling it up. That makes sense to me, that it's hard for a plant to grow when weeds are tangling it. And it made me think about a song we've been singing at church camp this week about being tangled up, but not tangled up in weeds, tangled up in Jesus' love. A different way of being tangled up. Emma knows where I'm going with this. So I would like to sing a song with you, and Lyra and Emma can help us sing this song, and it uses our bodies. Teresa will know it. Simeon will know it too. Piper and Asher, do we have any other counselor types who want to come up here and join me to sing this? Okay, we're going to sing this song about being tangled up, not in weeds, but in Jesus' love. It goes like this. I'm all wrapped up. Can you do that? Now watch, this is tricky. I'm all tied up. I'm all tangled up in Jesus, not weeds. Okay, let's try that again. I'm all wrapped up, I'm all tied up, I'm all tangled up. Now we say in love, another way to describe Jesus. Then we do it again. But I feel like we need to stand for this. Would you stand? Let's stand. When we were at church camp, I was talking with Lyra about some of the songs, and she said, yeah, you know what? I think we should teach these songs, and the grown-ups should do it too. So when you feel ready in your body, if you want to try it with us, we think that might be a fun idea for you. But you get to decide what's good for you. Okay, here we go. Are you ready? I'm all wrapped up, I'm all tied up, I'm all tangled up in Jesus. I'm all wrapped up, I'm all tied up, I'm all tangled up in love. I'm all wrapped up, I'm all tied up, I'm all tangled up in Jesus. I'm all wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in love. Oh, yeah. Oh, I forgot to tell you that part. At the very end, we use our hips to say, oh, yeah. And we think that makes God smile. I think so. I think God likes it when we use our hips. Okay, so here we go. We're going to sing it, but we're going to sing it a little bit faster. Let's try it. I'm all wrapped up. I'm all tied up. I'm all tangled up in Jesus. I'm all wrapped up. I'm all tied up. I'm all tangled up in love. I'm all wrapped up. I'm all tied up. I'm all tangled up in Jesus. I'm all wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in love. Oh, yeah. Can we go a little faster? Let's try it. Okay, here we go. I'm all wrapped up, I'm all tied up, I'm all tangled up in Jesus. I'm all wrapped up, I'm all tied up, I'm all tangled up in love. I'm all wrapped up, I'm all tied up, I'm all tangled up in Jesus. I'm all wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in love. Oh, yeah. May it be so. May we be wrapped up and tied up and tangled up in all that good love that Jesus has for us. Amen. Let's head up to church school together.
The whole human family and all the world. Holy God, for the blessings of this life, we give you thanks. For families, friends, colleagues, neighbors, even strangers who nurture us, that your love may, O God, may grow within us. May your love be like a seed, taking root and growing strong. May the leaders of our world lead with compassion and mercy, with wisdom and grace, guide all their actions and decisions. May your love be like a seed, taking root and growing strong. For those who serve in harm's way, who live in dangerous places, who live with fear and worry, may your peace bring safety to all your people. May your love be like a seed, taking root and growing strong. For those who suffer from any illness or disease of mind, body, or spirit, we pray today especially for Noreen, Donna, Grange, Pidgey, Kathy, Judy, John, Mary Margaret, Erica, Marilyn, Keith, Marlene, Roberta, Mervyn, Esther, Marilyn, Helga, Cindy, Greg, Keith, Beth, Becky, Barton, and all those in need of relief of any kind. Restore these and all those we carry in our hearts to fullness of health. Shower each of us with your healing mercy. May your love be like a seed taking root and growing strong. Send your comforting love, O God, to those who are dying. Console those who grieve. Today we pray especially for the family and friends of Catherine Cartier, Lois Crabtree, Todd McCracken, Lorenzo Salgado Arejo, and for Allison and Glenn in the loss of their son. May your grace surround us like a mantle upon our heads, a shawl upon our shoulders, a hand to hold. May your love, O God, be like a seed, taking root and growing strong. For all who seek your wisdom and guidance, may the seeds of your word scattered among us fall on fertile soil. May your love be like a seed taking root and growing strong, and may we produce an abundant harvest of good fruit. We pray all these prayers in the name of Jesus, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand in body or spirit for the reading of our gospel. A reading from the gospel according to Matthew. Jesus gives us the parable of the sower. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on a path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. If you have ears, hear. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of this age and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, and who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. The word of God for the people of God.
You all probably don't know this about me yet, but you will come to learn that I have zero natural instincts when it comes to growing plants. When I moved into my first apartment, a woman from my church gifted me with an aloe plant, saying every home must have an aloe. Well, it didn't take long for me to forget to water it. And then I would overwater it because I felt so guilty for neglecting it. And sure enough, that aloe plant shriveled up and died. And people who know things about plants tell me it's really hard to kill an aloe. And a year or so after the aloe incident, I started an office job where it was my responsibility to water the office plants. Well, one by one, they began to die, and my boss kept purchasing silk plants to replace them. Growing plants is just not my giftedness. So I'm at a bit of a deficit for understanding today's parable. But most of the people in that crowd to whom Jesus would have told this story were rural people. They were farmers and fishermen. These were people who lived much closer to the rhythms of the land than I do. And so Jesus often told parables and other stories about these everyday activities to help the people understand his message of good news. In today's parable, Jesus describes a sower. That's someone who plants seeds at the beginning of growing season. And this sower, whom Jesus describes, scatters seeds on all different kinds of soil. As the story unfolds, some seeds are choked by thorns. Some fall on hard ground and get eaten by birds. Some land in rocky soil and their roots fail to grow. But some land on good soil and bring forth a bountiful harvest. This parable reminds us just how difficult a good harvest can be, and just how important good soil is for growing lush plants. Gardeners and farmers work hard to make their soil good and healthy. They work hard to make that soil ready to receive seeds and to provide the nutrients they need to produce much fruit. Today's farmers carefully prepare their soil, and they test it to make sure it has just the right pH balance to grow these particular seeds. Farmers till their soil and inject the seeds in precise locations in the ground, perfectly spaced, so the plants won't get overcrowded. But as we heard, this is not the approach of the sower in Jesus' parable. The sower, Jesus describes, seems to just toss seeds into the world willy-nilly, without any care to where the seeds fall. Jesus said this, "A sower went out to sow, and he sowed some seeds, and some fell on hard ground. Others fell in rocky fields. Other seeds fell among thorns. Some seeds fell in good soil." This is a far cry from injecting seeds into perfectly spaced spots in pH-balanced soil. And the crowds to whom Jesus spoke would likely have wondered, why is this man throwing seeds without any care? Does the sower have an endless supply? But seeds are not usually an endless supply, and they can be quite expensive. Farmers are typically careful to prepare their soil, be sure that they are planting in good soil so that they will have a rich and bountiful harvest. Their very livelihoods depend on producing a good yield, but Jesus's parable offers us a different image. It's an image of abundance, an endless supply of seed that encourages a reckless abandon when we sow those seeds. Now, of course, the story is a parable, and parables are stories that are sharing a deeper meaning beyond the surface. This story, as we heard, isn't just about farming. Indeed, this is the first in a series of parables that Jesus tells the crowds in Matthew's gospel. Jesus' parables are stories that are meant to get us thinking. The word parable literally means to throw alongside. In his parables, Jesus throws things together that don't make sense. A parable is meant to be disruptive. It's meant to confuse and intrigue us. A parable is meant to disorient, even unnerve us. They are stories that flip things upside down, that challenge us to rethink and reimagine. So, what assumption is this parable meant to challenge? What is being reimagined here? What is it that's confusing? And where is Jesus leading us to a new way of thinking? In this particular case, in Matthew's gospel, we find an interpretation of the parable. Now, Jesus rarely interprets his parables, but here we have an allegorical interpretation. The seeds, Jesus says, are the word of the kingdom. The different kinds of soil are the different receptions of that word. Sometimes the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. Sometimes the one who hears the word immediately receives it with joy, but without deep roots, when trouble arises, that person falls away. Other times one hears the word, but the cares of this age and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But sometimes one hears the word and understands it and bears fruit. Now, the interpretation of the sower is not included here. The sower remains a mystery. We can imagine that the sower may be Jesus or God, or maybe the 12 disciples. or possibly all of Jesus' followers. But we don't know for sure. If we are meant to place ourselves in the role of the sower, the one who spreads the word of God's kingdom, then we might hear this parable as a description of our reality. For when we spread the good news of Jesus, we often experience these outcomes. The good news often falls on rocky ground or among thorns. When we share the message of Jesus' good news for the poor and the oppressed, we are often met with initial interest, but little endurance for the hard work of building a better world. When we proclaim God's justice and mercy, we are often met by authorities clinging to wealth and power. This is our real world experience. God's word of grace and love and justice does not always bear abundant fruit. It is often met with scorn and suspicion. Yet Jesus' story of the sower and the seeds calls us to scatter the seeds of God's message regardless of the soil we find around us. In this parable, Jesus urges his followers to take handfuls, even bucketfuls, of seeds of love and justice, of grace and mercy, and scatter them anywhere and everywhere that we go. The good news of Jesus, the gospel message of justice and peace, these are not limited resources that we must conserve and only plant in good soil, perfectly placed in rows and pH balanced soil. No, the message of God's love and justice and peace has no limits. There is plenty of this good word for everyone, even those who cannot or will not receive it. Justice is not a scarce resource. Grace and mercy are not in short supply. Love has no limit. So therefore, we can and we must sow these words of God's kingdom in our world with reckless abandon. Our words may not always take hold, but this story reminds us even when some seeds fall on bad soil, an abundant harvest is still promised. At the very end of the explanation of this parable, Jesus says that there is a harvest of 30, 60, even 100-fold. I don't know much about plants, but I know that these are miraculous numbers. This is an incredibly abundant harvest. So what assumptions is this parable challenging? Maybe it's the assumption that God's word is scarce. Resource that we must protect. Maybe this parable is challenging us to spread God's message of justice and peace even in places where there seems to be no one listening. Maybe this parable is leading us out into the streets and the alleys and the hallways of power. Maybe this parable is teaching us that we all can be successful gardeners of God's word if we simply persist in sharing it. Maybe even a brown thumb like me can learn to grow seeds of love and justice, of grace and mercy. So let us go out, scatter the good word of God's kingdom with reckless abandon. Scripture says this: the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. The one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Responding to God's abundant gifts to us in Christ, we have the opportunity to share our abundance. Let us worship God with our gifts.
Thank you.
Bill, would you come up a second? We'd like to thank you and pray with you. You'll see in the bulletin a moment of thanks. Bill and Beth and Rolf have been our associates for different tasks in this interim season, our little interim season. And on behalf of Mary, our moderator, and Paula, our chair of personnel, on behalf of the staff team and of our church family, we are grateful, and it was necessary for you all to fill the role you filled. So thank you, Rolf, for leading and planning thoughtful, meaningful worship. We're grateful to you for your time and your gifts and your wisdom. And Beth and Bill, thank you for the time you gave to visit us, to pray for us, and to care for us. It mattered. The work you did mattered. And I want to say we needed it, and it was a gift. So thank you for your gift of time and energy and wisdom and skill. Thank you, thank you. Yes. For 8 months. Well, you're going to stay here a second. We're going to pray for you. We're going to stay a little longer. Mm-hmm.